Chase Willie and D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, Derek Mason here with you. We say hello to one half of Robbie and Rex Road. Morning 6 to 10 here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley is with us. He was at Bridgestone Arena pretty much all day like I was yesterday. Rob, how you doing?
I'm good, boys. How we doing?
We're doing fantastic. Predators opened their preseason with a doubleheader, and, you know, it was a split. It was kind of crazy there at the end of game one. They went to overtime, and Florida scores with like 0.01 seconds literally at the buzzer to win that game. But overall, you look at the split squad, you had veterans in both games for both teams, young guys in both games for both teams, but guys like Forsberg, Nino Niederreiter, Ryan Johansson, they stood out to me. What did you see?
Yeah, I thought it was a good day at work for the Predators. You know, it turns out Philip Forsberg, despite the new contract, can still shoot a hockey puck, so that's good
that's
to know
good.
For the Predators heading into the season. I thought there were a couple things that stood out. I thought some of the young guys really showed up well, but the number one takeaway that I had from yesterday was in game two. I've been really curious all training camp, all preseason long to watch Ryan McDonough and Matthias Ekholm play together. And they were together last night on a defense pairing. You know, John Hines has told me a couple of times about, you know, the links and the conversations that they had with Matthias Ekholm this summer to get him comfortable playing on the right side. And it's not an easy thing to do. Not every NHL defenseman can play on their offside, and that's what Matthias Ekholm is tasked with doing right now. And I thought he looked pretty good last night doing that. I thought that pairing as a whole looked really good. So I thought that was probably my number one takeaway from last night. The goaltending battle is going to be very interesting as they move forward.
Oh, you know,
obviously,
yes.
With Lankinen and Askarov doing what they did last night, that certainly helps. Doesn't do anything to hurt their case as backup goaltender. But just a really good night, really good work in the Predators' two games there. And, you know, I thought the Niederreiter, Johansson, Tomasino line was interesting. As Johansson put it after the game, needs some work, a little sloppy out there, but they did get a goal at the end of the game as well in game one. So lots of good work yesterday for the Predators.
I'm not going to lie to you. I was sitting up in our station seats and was with some friends for game two, and Askarov comes in. The crowd goes wild when he takes his spot, and then watching him, I had a little bit of, like, this guy's going to be really, really good. I know it's one game, but very, very impressive in his debut.
But he looked really good, and he's incredibly explosive athletically. Just some of the side-to-side movement he's got. I mean, there's a reason that he's, you know, talked about as the top prospect for the Predators and one of the top goaltending prospects that we've seen for a long time. So, you know, he's been very impressive to me throughout rookie camp, throughout training camp thus far. You know, is he going to end up being the backup goalie for the Predators this year? Probably not. I mean, I think it serves him better in the long run to get as much playing time as he can possibly get, particularly given what's happened to him last year, where the KHL team he was playing for basically just shut him out because they knew he was coming over here. So I think the more he can play, the better off he's going to be. But there's no question about it. He looked very impressive last night.
Robbie Stanley is with us, one half of Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Where do you think Dante Fabbro falls in all of this with a pretty loaded, now improved defensive core with the addition of Ryan McDonough? You definitely feel like that Fabbro is going to get pushed down to the third pair, but just the grand scheme of things and looking at his future, where do you think things fall for him?
Well, I think you laid it out perfectly there to begin the season. I think he's going to be on the third pair, and I think he'll be probably with Jeremy Lauzon most nights. I think maybe matchup-based, and obviously, you know, with injuries coming in, hopefully not if you're the Predators, but at some point, I mean, Mark Borowiecki is going to play some games for the Predators this year. With the way that he plays the game, like, Mark Borowiecki is not going to be healthy the whole season. It just, he's tenacious out there. So we know what that's going to be. In the big picture, it's still very difficult for me to imagine both Carrier and Fabbro on this team next year. And I said this when the Ryan McDonough move was made. I feel like if the Predators were comfortable with their top four, and they felt good about both of those guys, but specifically Fabbro moving forward, they're not making the trade to bring in Ryan McDonough. I know the Ryan McDonough trade essentially fell in their laps, and anytime you can get a good player, that's great. But with the cap hit he brings to the table, you can't convince me that if they felt good about Dante Fabbro being a top four defenseman, that they still pull the trigger on Ryan McDonough. So with both of their contracts coming up after this season, I just don't see a spot for both Fabro and Carrier on this roster. So this is a big year. I think it's a big year for both of them, but especially Fabro. Like, you need to prove that you belong, and whether it's here or elsewhere, prove that you can still be a top four quality defenseman in the NHL. So I'm interested to see how this shakes out. Like I said, big picture, I don't think they'll both be here next season, but it's a big year for Dante Fabro in terms of what his career looks like, because you're kind of at a crossroads right now of, can you be a top four defenseman? Can you not? And it's up for him this year to have a really good season.
Want to throw this out before we throw it to Willie. This has been kind of a rumor, but it has been officially announced. The Predators will host the Tampa Bay Lightning Thursday night at Bridgestone Arena due to the Hurricane Ian. They are moving that game to Nashville. And so the Lightning and the Predators will play back-to-back nights at Bridgestone Arena. Puck drop is scheduled for 7 o'clock on Thursday night. So I wanted to get that out there.
We'll have
pregame at 6.
Yep. You started to hear rumblings about that yesterday as the weather started becoming really serious down there. Robbie Stanley with us. Robbie, where do you see the best fit for Cody Glass? He's one of the more interesting guys on the roster, because I think they would like to get him in there, but the question is, what role?
That's a great question, because I thought it was interesting that he played with Forsberg and Duchesne last night to give him kind of a look there. Now, keep in mind, Mikael Granlund didn't play last night, and I think that's what the line's going to be as they get into the regular season. But that fourth line, quote-unquote, is pretty interesting to me. Like, honestly, I think as it stands today, they're pretty much set everywhere else. Like, I feel good about Granlund playing with Forsberg and Duchesne. I think it's going to be Niederreiter, Johansson, and Tomasino at least to start, and then obviously the Hurd line. So there's really one line that I'm looking at, and, you know, it's a bit of a different style fourth line if it ends up going this way. You know, Tolvanen's still out there. Cody Glass, as you mentioned, Willie. You brought in Zach Sanford in the offseason, and he's a guy with a lot of NHL experience, has played against the Predators a ton during his time with the Blues, so he's an option for you. And I'll be honest, one of my big takeaways yesterday, and Willie, you've been beating this drum for a while now, and I've started to notice him more and more. Yusuf Parsonen looks pretty good, I'll be honest with you.
Yes,
he
does.
He looks pretty good. And I think he's got a legitimate chance to make this team. So I don't think it's a guarantee that Cody Glass is on the team. I think he did help himself last night with the way that he played. But if he does make the team right now, to me anyway, I think he's probably still looking at that fourth line role, probably with Elie Tolvanen on his line. And how successful can he be there? I don't know, but I think just given the roster right now, that may be his only spot.
Keep in mind, too, that it's a little different with the team starting the season over in Europe. You can keep extra guys. So when we say make the team, there'll be extra guys that make the team because you can take them over.
Yep.
And so I don't think that's really the question. It's when they have to get back down to 23 and you have guys like Parsonen and who really are pushing. But contractually, you can send to Milwaukee. I think that makes it tough. The big question for me is a guy like Zach Sanford, right? I didn't think he did a whole lot to stand out yesterday, but he's on a one-way deal. Is like, can he do enough to say, yeah, I belong here. I you need to have me on this team, because they have some options down there on that fourth line.
They absolutely do, and it's a good place to be. Like you said, they're going to take 27 over to Europe with them, so they're going to have a little bit more of a loaded roster that way. Then you got to cut it back down when you get back here. So, like, Parsonen's a guy I think absolutely could be good enough to make the team, but because of the contractual situation, maybe he starts the season in Milwaukee and he's a call-up at some point. Like, that absolutely could be the case. I mean, waivers are going to play into this too. Who has to go on waivers? Who doesn't? I mean, there's a lot of different decisions that go into it. I would be interested, like, if Cody Glass is here, and remember, guys, he made the team last year. And then it was two games, and he was gone. And he basically played the whole season in Milwaukee. If he is on the team and he's got some staying power this year, I wonder, you know, could he find a role for himself on that second power play unit? Because that's where I think he could really generate some points if he's on this Predators roster this year.
I think that's a good point. That was something that stood out last night. He did score the goal, but I thought his most impressive trait last night was some of the passes he made. He has very good vision. I've been looking, you know, since he's been there, to say, okay, what does this guy do that made him the sixth pick? I mean, you could watch a lot of the games he played for Nashville last year and say, what am I supposed to be seeing here, right? But right. last night you saw it. You saw some really good vision, some one step ahead, no look passes right on the tape that could have easily resulted in a goal. I thought that was one of the better showcases he's had in front of the home fans.
Well, I thought he looked confident, and that's kind of the main thing, especially when you're a guy like him who's 23, you're a former first-round pick, you're sixth overall, and it probably has not gone thus far to how Cody Glass envisioned his career going to this point. I think that's beyond fair to say. So I think there has been a confidence issue. Obviously, injuries have been a part of the story as well. But to me last night, he looked like a confident guy. I mean, some of the passes he made, Willie, just entering the zone were, I mean, cross-eyes, tape-to-tape passes, making the right read, making the right play, entering into the offensive zone. I thought it was really good from Cody Glass. So, you know, I don't know what exactly his role is going to be for the Predators, but if it's a confident Cody Glass, I do think he's taken some steps in some areas away from the puck since he was first in training camp last year. I asked John Hines about that last night, and he talked about just physically how much he's grown and how much stronger he is this year. So, you know, I remember Philip Forsberg when he first came up. Obviously, Ellie Tolvanen, that was a big thing, too, of you got to get stronger and be able to play along the wall. I don't think that's been a strength of Cody Glass throughout his career thus far, but if he's better in that area, that's going to do nothing but help him.
Rob, appreciate the time as always. You and Joe do a fantastic job. Well, you do. Joe does all right, you know, in the mornings.
Yeah, don't give him too much
credit.
Yeah,
you know, I can't do too much. But appreciate it, and we will see you Thursday now at Bridgestone Arena.
Thanks, boys. Sounds good.
Robbie Stanley, one half of Robbie and Rexford mornings from 6 to 10 here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Again, if you missed it just a few minutes ago, the Predators putting this out that their game against Tampa Bay, scheduled to be in Tampa on Thursday, will now be at Bridgestone Arena Thursday. They also said that season ticket citizens can request up to 4 complimentary general admission tickets for this preseason game and purchase additional tickets for $10 each. Single game general admission tickets can be purchased through NashvillePredators.com for $15 starting at 5 o'clock today. So this will be a 6 o'clock pregame for us, 7 o'clock puck drop, and then the game remains at 5 o'clock on Friday. So back-to-backs at Bridgestone between the Preds and the Tampa Bay Lightning. From Nashville to Knoxville and all around the country, Superbook Sports is your place to wager this football season. You don't need to be at the game to enjoy football this fall. Just download the Superbook Sports app or visit superbook.com and start placing your bets now. And right now, Superbook has lines up for every pro football game for the rest of the season. Plus, which team will win the title, who's your MVP, and who will surprise in the SEC. You can wager on all that and more right now at Superbook Sports. And then along with football, Superbook accepts wagers on every other major sport. So, do like I do. Bring Vegas to the palm of your hands. And now Superbook will match 100% of your first bet up to $1,000, no matter if that bet wins or loses. Get in the action right now at Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789.